Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Steve. We're good.
Hi, Jill.
I'm good. Hi, Alice.
We're doing great, Steve. Yeah. How are you?
Well, I'm good. And, of course, this is Thursday of Holy Week, and it's referred to as Maundy Thursday. Anybody know what that means? Well, of course, it means that this is where we remember one of the most amazing acts of service, of humility, just an example that it blows me away. It's where Jesus got down on his knees, mm-hmm. and he washed the feet mm-hmm. of his disciples. And I've always felt like that just kind of set it all. Feet back then, there was no...
There were no nail clippers back then.
no Dr. Scholes. No Dr. Scholes. And here's the thing that always amazes me. There were 12 disciples there at that dinner, and one of those was Judas. And here he is, Judas, and he washes the feet of Judas.
I never thought about that. You're right.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us, well, when people are nice to us, we'd be more than happy to make them comfortable or whatever. But when somebody's betrayed us and hurt us, it really is difficult. Or we know mm-hmm. they're about to do something, we can't stop them from it. But this is a great time to say, do we ever wash the feet of someone else? Do we ever do the dirty work of someone else? It repositions us in a way that nothing else can. You know, I don't wash my wife's feet, but I put lotion on them when she gets out of the bathtub.
When they're already
almost
clean.
Yeah, they're very tidy. But, you know, it's not everything, and it's not the same, but it's something, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody ought to find something that is kind of not the ultimate thing that you want to be doing with your life, but it really brings you back to reality of mm-hmm. who you are. And I remember, I'm so grateful to be doing what I'm doing. I started this by cleaning toilets in a psych hospital. That's the only way I could have a job working around people with severe problems. And so sometimes I will clean the toilet of a gas station just to kind of get in touch with that part of my life and keep me grateful for just doing what I do. Because I know how to clean a toilet. You might not know how to do that. Anyway, this is a great day to remember acts mm-hmm. of service that people need and that we can do. When I put lotion on my wife's feet, I say, I can't do everything well, but I can do this. And there are a lot of things that we can't do well. We're not very good at it, but there's something you can find that mm-hmm. you can do.
Well, and go to church tonight. I know it's my favorite service mm-hmm. of the year, or tomorrow for Good Friday, because it's so reflective and meaningful going into Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And when we have to do an unpleasant task for another, if we can think of it in this way that you're motivating us to, it helps us to be more loving in the act itself. The 3 a.m. diaper change, if I can see it as washing the feet as the loving act, it helps me through it and helps me be kinder while I'm doing it.
The word Maundy, M-A-U-N-D-Y, refers to a humble, loving act. That's why what this is called. Hey, If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'm telling you. He is a God of grace and mercy, showed us how to live, and gave us a sacrifice that we cannot pay for, but He paid for us.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we have a caller. Alice, who needs us to go to them
Julie?
First? Because Julie's running out of time here. And Julie, welcome to New Life, Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. We love WFIA, and you, Julie, thanks for holding on. And yes,
thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a good friend who she professes to be a believer. She knows I'm one also, so she comes to me with a lot of questions. She recently got married about 18 months ago to an unbeliever, and she's recently found out that he has been unfaithful to her the entire time they've been married with multiple women. They have a six-month-old child together, and she's just devastated. And I am not a counselor, and I'm trying to help her as much as I can, but I just need a little bit of guidance on, I've gotten her to go to church with him, and she's been to see a counselor a couple times, but he had a drinking problem as well. And he has quit cold turkey. He's been sober for 6 weeks now since this all happened. And she said all the counselors want to focus on is alcoholism. And she said, we need tools on how to fix our marriage. And I said, if I found some materials for you to read, would you read them together and maybe start there? And she said, absolutely. But I don't really know what to recommend to her.
Okay. Well, you know what? The counselors are really pointing her in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying all they want to do is tell us, you know, talk about alcoholism. But him stopping drinking doesn't really help the situation. Well, I mean, it kind of helps it, but it doesn't really help it. Because he stopped something, but that doesn't build his character. Right now, it sounds like he's highly motivated to get back in control since he's been found out. And what you want to do is you want to take care of that addiction to alcohol. And here's why. It is a problem that he can't deal with on his own. Stopping isn't the goal. Recovery is the goal. And the program for recovery from alcoholism will build the character that will take care of the rest. It's an honesty program. And so he can't recover from alcoholism and still decide that he's going to sleep around and all of that. Now, here's why I'm saying this. This is a really key time in her life. And he's going to be saying stuff to her that will try to get back control, get in her good graces, and really kind of get her off of what could be a life-changing experience here. And that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. The worst thing she can do is to be happy that, well, now he doesn't drink anymore and he goes to church. he has a character defect that's very severe, or he wouldn't have married someone and then betrayed her like this. Go ahead.
Right. There are multiple addictions here. So this is where we're talking about. It's a character problem. And see, for her, she's scared. She's so upset. She's vulnerable. She has a new baby. I'm so glad she has you. But she just wants to quickly get to fixing the relationship, thinking that that will make things better, and glossing over all of the work that Steve is describing that has to be done. So it's kind of a step-by-step process. I think our program, Every Man's Battle, would be a must for him to go to so that he really understands what it takes to work on things. Go ahead,
Steve. That way you would know, is he talking or is he wanting to change? And so people feel horrible when they're caught looking at pornography on their phone. And then they go to Every Man's Battle. For what he's done, if he's not willing to get help for that problem right there, that horrible, horrible sexual addiction that he has, he's just talking. And you need to help her see, no, that's just talk. Don't listen to what he says. Watch what he does. And it's got to be something more than just going to church and saying, I don't drink anymore.
Right.
Alice,
those are good, but I really think that the sexual addiction is primary to the alcoholism. I mean, he needs to drink to deal with it.
Right.
Julie, is the husband getting any help yet, or is it just the wife that's receiving counseling?
He has seen a counselor, I know, at least two or three times since all of this started. I'm not sure if he still is or not.
Okay.
He is a physician, and so he has... I know one place he went was saying, we're going to have to report this to the medical boards or whatever. And he got up and left because he said, no, I've never had a drink at work. I've never, he said, I was trying to be proactive here. It scared him off basically. So I'm not sure that he's been back to that person after that.
Okay.
So if I was her, I would be saying, I'm going to have to report you to the medical board if you don't get the help that you need. Sorry, I interrupted there, Alice. Go ahead.
No, I would have her ask for three particular things from him in order to protect herself and especially the baby, too, and the child's relationship with his father. And what a tough time to do this. They have a six-month-old baby. How incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah.
But those three things would be that he continue to get professional help. And I understand his fear and that there's risk to his license. But if she doesn't require this now, we receive what we tolerate. And if she continues to tolerate, she will just get more of the same. So the first thing is continued professional help. And I would say individual counseling for him in addition to couples counseling. The second would be proof that he is attending and full access to that counselor so that she can get reports about how he's doing. And then the third is it has to be consistent over time, and a week is nowhere near enough time. This has to be months to years of proof of change before she makes herself vulnerable or risks trusting him again. One particular book is called Torn Asunder by Dave Carter, and it really lays out a good program of what a spouse can require in order to know whether or not to move forward with the marriage, in order to know whether or not to rebuild trust. Torn Asunder.
And see, here's the thing.
Okay.
Physician, no one tells a physician what to do, see. And if they try to, then they run away. So he married her because I think he had a pretty good shot at somebody that wouldn't tell him what to do. He liked that about her. She was passive. She needs you to help her not be passive. She ought to be going to a Sex Anon meeting or an Al-Anon meeting, a codependency group. She needs support. If we could get her to restore, that would be an eye-opener for her. But she's lost in this jungle of repeated sin and betrayal. And I'm going to send you this Intimate Deception book that you can send to her. That'll be a big help to her. But I think...
Yeah, that was... I just met with her this morning, and that was one of the things that she talked about, how just even driving by places where she knows he met people and things like that, she said, I'm having trouble moving on just because of all the things that are flooding my brain all the time. And you know, she wants to forgive him, but she just feels so betrayed. She has no idea how to rebuild that trust.
Yeah. Just imagine if I stole $1 million from you and I said, I feel so bad. I'm going to go to church this Sunday. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, that doesn't do it. See, there are three things. There's regret. He has regret that he got caught. The next level is repentance. Well, he might have a little of that because he stopped drinking. But remorsefulness leads to revolutionary behavior that you never dreamed the person would do. And that's what I'd be saying to her. She should say to him, I see your regret, but I sure don't feel your remorse, because remorse would lead you to go get the help that you need. And, you know, he's going to be a jerk of a physician for the rest of his life. He's going to be a horrible husband for the rest of his life unless somebody gets through to him and says, this could be the beginning of you becoming an amazingly wonderful human being rather than a player and a user. This could be the beginning.
Yeah.
But she's going to have to put the pressure on, and you're going to have to help her see the most painful time of your life will lead to the best time of your life, or you're going to have to move on because he won't change.
And Julie, just on a basic logistics level too, with this, your friend with a 6-month-old baby and she's sleep deprived, she's exhausted and overwhelmed. You're such a good friend to be making this call. And if you can babysit for her and let her take a nap, just something as simple as that, she needs even just physical refreshment to be able to make any of these incredibly difficult, life-changing decisions. Thank you for being a friend to her.
Yeah. And maybe bring some other friends alongside too. You know, if you guys could create a small support group where you meet with her every week, that would do wonders for her.
Now, we took your call because you were assertive enough to say, hey, I need to go here. Well, help her to have your assertiveness, because that's what she's going to need. You know? Really, you're a great friend. You're
what she needs.
Well, all right. Hey, I hope that something we've said is helpful. I'll send Intimate Deception to you. I'm going to send you also a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm just going to hoping you're going to send them to both of them. This is for her. This is for you. But look, really, bottom line, Jill's got it. I mean, I bet this sexual addiction is the primary thing right here, and it needs to be dealt with. Oh, my goodness. I feel so sorry for her.
And Steve, can we just quickly break down forgiveness versus reconciliation and trust building? Because this comes up over and over again. Mm-hmm. We just had this in another recent show that we did, that when we forgive, the other person who has been the aggressor against us doesn't even have to have changed their behavior. Forgiveness is about our decision between us and God to let go of what that person owes us. And it's for our own healing. It's not about the betrayer. But when it comes to reconciliation, now that has to do with whether or not the betrayer's behavior has changed, and we can rebuild relationship because there's change in their behavior. Now, above and beyond that is trust building, when they have shown such proof of behavior change over the long term that we can become vulnerable to them again. This process can take 2 years to rebuild that, and those are three separate stages. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, and forgiveness doesn't mean reconciling
doesn't
either
mean
necessarily.
You don't require things of the person, right? It doesn't change the relationship. It changes you.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, you go ahead.
Even Jesus said, if you can't trust my words, watch my behavior. You can tell by my works. And we need to see works. If someone says, forgive me, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, especially after this much betrayal, words are not enough. It's behavior change that we need to see over time.
That's right. Well, I hope this is good. I hope it's something powerful for other people to hear. Listen, we've been doing this a long time. Passivity has an excuse. You've got to find your excuse to be passive and work through it and refuse to just sit there and do nothing, because Satan loves passivity. He loves it when people don't do what they need to do for whatever reason. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we do want to help you. How about we go to Yeah, let's talk with Mary. She's a Club New Life member from Oro Valley, Arizona. How you doing?
Kind of awful, but thanks for asking.
Kind of awful. All right, that's a very good description of the way I have actually felt sometimes in my life. So how can we help? What's going on?
Well, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Sure.
Great. Okay. So I just put it down. Actually, I put it into two questions, which are related. I'll just go to that.
Okay.
All right. So, like, the question for me is, after 34 years of a marriage that never clicked, is my only option now to legally separate or divorce my lawyer husband? And the second question, the global more question, is what I've learned the hard way gradually over all these many years is that damaged people do damage to their family. And why can't anyone other than me in this situation recognize damage, expose it, and help start repairing it?
Okay. Well, these are very, very, very good questions, and I hope we've got some great, great insight for you. You're listening to New Life Live, committed to helping transformation.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and one of my least favorite subjects here is when we have somebody that is in one of these married but miserable situations, mm-hmm. and that's what we've got here. And so the question was, you know, after all these years, is it divorce, separation, or are those my only options? Jill, why don't we start with you? Do you think that's the only option?
Well, I'm wondering what you've done, Mary, because certainly I think we feel like we have done everything we can possibly mm-hmm. do, and we get to this place where we really see limited options. And sometimes it means doing something different versus just saying, okay, we've come to the end. And so I guess I'm wondering, can you just tell me real quickly what you have done?
I would love to do something different, but I can't think of anything different anymore. It's a long story because it's 34 years, and I thought I thought I married the man of my dreams type person, and within days and weeks, I realized something was wrong, mm-hmm. and I felt like a non-entity in a very superficial, non-intimate relationship. Mm-hmm.
And I've spent, you know, many trying to figure it out, marriage counselors who never got to the secret problems and basically just tried to have us be, how do we be nice to each other? How can you be nice to each other? Or else it would be like, well, I'm the problem. Why am I never happy with anything? When I really didn't have much of anything. So I tried, we tried several different marriage counselors. At 5 years into the marriage, after watching him every night, just drink every night, that was his pattern. I didn't know he had a lot of secrets, that he has a lot of addictive tendencies I didn't know anything about, but after watching him drink every night, but functioning well out in the outside world, I left for 6 months. I left for 6 months then. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't really even try to contact me. I contacted the divorce lawyer then, and he told me, go home, because I had left the house for 6 months. Go home, tell me it was 48 hours to make this mind go into treatment for the alcohol, or you're getting divorced. On the 47th hour, he decided to do an outpatient program, and he stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. So he did go with to different counselors. He did stop drinking, but he didn't follow up with the work of doing AA, because he's afraid someone's going to reveal him somewhere. You know, I mean, it's just a really, really long story.
Right. And
I'm just disappointed that no one even asked anything about his family history or got to the reason why he is the way he is. And that all I can say is that he's damaged, and he has now damaged our family. And no one's really ever exposed that or tried to. If you can't help what you don't know, and no one's
now,
even
now let me ask you, when you were in these counseling sessions with him, were you afraid to say to the counselor, I think we ought to talk about his background, or I think we ought to talk about his family, or was that just overwhelmingly a fearful thing?
Number one, it was all a secret to me, and the things that I've learned haven't come from him, really, not much. It's sort of from other clues from his sister and a few questions I've asked him. I mean, I've just found out some of this stuff recently.
Okay, so let us help you here, because 34 years, he's kind of been trained
that
this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. When you put your foot down, you did cause some change there, you know?
I know.
And I just think it needs to carry over into areas other than the drinking. Now, I wish you had been talking to me when he said, I don't want to go to any more of these meetings because I don't want to be found out. It's my image. That's the most important thing. And then you could have said to him, look, you're going to decide something. Your image or our marriage. Mm. Is your image more important than my heart? Then let's get it out on the table. Well, I think he's kind of shown you that is true. But Jill, Alice, what are some things she could do differently that might produce a different result now?
Well, and I also just want to let you know that he's totally checked out. I mean, like 9 years ago, he told me, I want a divorce, but he never left. He took up his ring. He never left. I mean, he's a lawyer. He's doing nothing. He seems perfectly content.
Mary, has there been a history of infidelity? Has he been unfaithful to you?
Not with another person that I know of, but that's another one of his secrets and sort of addictive tendencies, is that it wasn't much physical intimacy in the marriage because he's mostly intimate with himself.
Okay. So I think a tough thing to consider here, and I don't know enough to know, but is there a biblical basis for divorce? And I don't know that there is yet. But there are things that you can do to care for yourself, to protect yourself, and even to possibly influence him, despite these 34 years of you having tried many times. Mm-hmm. I hear that. I hear desperation and a loneliness, too, I want you to know. So what could it be? I think it can be continued work on yourself, Mary, and getting the support around you that you need to set up the boundaries and to take care of yourself. As Steve pointed out, when you put your foot down, he went to outpatient and he stopped
so
drinking.
I think that you guys need to go to our marriage workshop and say, this is kind of my last ditch effort to try to help us. And will you go to this with me? Because I don't think you even understand what it means to be intimate. And let's us go and learn about that and see if there's really any hope for us.
No, and I think you're going to have to say to him that, you know, this is something that has saved impossible situations. Yes. We have an impossible situation. And I think you have to be prepared when he says he won't go, that you're going to file for divorce. That you have. Now, do we want you to divorce? No. But I think it's going to take that for him once again to do something like he did before that was different. We'll be back after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, joining us. By the way, for Mary, I want to let me send her. I don't know what to send her. I mean, I'll send Take Your Life Back. I want to see if we can get her to a conference, them to a conference. I mean, it's so frustrating after 34 years. But I know it's never ever too late. We just see these folks change after all this time. Yeah, Jill, what?
Well, yeah, it's never hopeless, but the outcome we want is not always what we get. And, you know, I think we have heavy hearts because we don't say, gosh, you know, you might have to file for divorce lightly because it's no picnic. You've been married 34 years, and it doesn't mean like you're going to be divorced and then have no problems. You get a different set of problems when you're divorced. And, you know, it can be lonely. But do you stay in a situation where there is obvious sin going on and someone is unrepentant and unwilling to change? To me, that's no way to live either, you know, married and miserable, as we said. That's not an option.
Yeah.
Well, it brings us back to the idea of you pick your pain because it's painful to divorce, but it's painful,
really painful
to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a healing pain, and then there's a pain that just keeps us stuck in suffering. So perhaps choosing the path of the healing pain of divorce or coming to our
or growth. You know, growth is painful.
Even better.
Right? And so sometimes in the growth process, things have to end. Right? As Henry says, there's necessary endings that have to take place.
Right.
And that God wants our growth more than he wants, you know, a certain picture that we think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad news is, I think for a lot of us, is you have to do the work. You've been mistreated, but now you've got to do the hard thing. And it's really tough. You need connection.
Never fair.
It wasn't an accident that we founded this ministry on 3 words. 1, transformation. But you have to have redemptive connections and relationships mm-hmm. for that transformation to occur, and those have to be based on truth. Without truth, we got nothing but insecurity, instability, and sin. Mm-hmm. Speaking of security, let's talk to Larry. Were you afraid there, Larry?
I was. Jill always already did that to me just before the break, so yes.
Well, if anybody I know has character, it's you, and I've always admired you for your character, and then mm-hmm. once I got to know you, you are a character.
So, yes.
Talk to us about
those reasons I was looking at you.
We need people to support this ministry.
We're
coming to the end of the month here.
And we're on a Club New Life drive. And before I go into the benefits of Club New Life and the reintroduction of it, we talk about Club New Life being a family. And I want to read a letter that kind of shows that a little bit. This lady writes, "I called to put my Club New Life on hold as I was having a serious financial crisis. I've had an appeal pending with the unemployment since last fall, and I didn't want to stop any of my charitable giving until it was absolutely necessary because I knew God would take care of me as I put his concerns first. We truly cannot outgive God. I won my appeal at the appeal hearing, and last week I received 23 checks totaling over $24,000. To God be the glory. It truly is darkest right before the dawn. Mm. I had exhausted all my personal resources the week before the checks came through.
Wow.
Twice I received a call during those months from New Life asking me for a prayer request. Yep. Well, this situation was my request, so I thank you for standing with me."
Mm. So wonderful.
I just love it when we get to hear something good happened because we're part of the same family.
And those prayer request calls, because I get those too, they do make you feel like part of the family of New Life. And the goodies that we get in the mail.
Well, the goodies. That's
true.
Yeah, the goodies going up in terms of a thank you gift for joining Club New Life. When you join, we're going to send you the entire library of the Artaburn Wellness series. It's 8 books. Face value is $120. We've never given anything like this away before as a thank you. And we just want you to, these books are really good. Every book is understanding and loving somebody with, and it's got 8 different issues in life. So they've been popular on radio. They've been popular with getting the phones to ring at the call center, and you're going to love these books. But you get it by joining Club New Life, $30 or more per month. The other thing that's new for Club New Life is we've created a brand new video library. We've had Steve do videos. We're having radio hosts do videos. We've had some of our network counselors do videos, and they will be on subjects of all sorts. We'll start with close to 100 videos later this week or early next week, and then from there we'll add videos every week. So you're going to want this, and the only way to get these is joining Club New Life. This is a way we can say thank you to people. We're not trying to exclude people. We're just trying to say thank you for those who support us in such a big way. So if you can join, give us a call. Join now. The other thing that goes along with that is we're doing in honor of our 30th anniversary, we're asking folks to be a part of our Wall of Transformation. It's going to be a virtual wall where you can have your name on a brick. And to have the name on the brick, you become a Club New Life member. And so current Club New Life members will automatically qualify. And as you join, you qualify. If you're not a Club New Life member and you would like to give, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, and they'll tell you how you can get a name on the brick as well.
All right. It's Club New Life, and it is the sustainer of this ministry. Every month, $30 combined with a few thousand others, it makes all the difference in the world. For our 30th anniversary, we've never offered so much to say thank you because we need to build our club, and it is a great, great way to participate in a great transforming ministry. Thank you, Larry.
Last thing real quick.
Yeah.
I know not everybody is going to join Club New Life. I'm not totally delusional, even though some people think I am. If you're not going to join Club New Life, just please make a gift, any size. It might be $5, $10, $100, or $1,000, I don't know, but please make a gift. And I'm really going after folks who have never given before. If you've never given, we've had folks that said 10, 15 years we never gave. And then they had the guilt complex and they started giving. So if guilt drives you, here I am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call if you need help or if you can help us or you can support us. That's the number. Now let's go to Sally. She's calling us from Philadelphia. WBYN is the station. Hi, Sally. How you doing?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I didn't realize I was going to be called this soon.
Well, I'm glad you're on there. What's going on?
Well, I'm just in my kitchen. My husband is in the bedroom, and I assume he's not listening. He's bedridden, and we've been married, I'll say, many, many years. Mm-hmm. I'm 77 years old, so you can get an idea of how long we've been married.
Okay.
Married very young, and I'm having a problem. I'm desperate, really.
Aww.
I feel like God has left me. I've been a born-again Christian since I was 21. And I go to a church called New Life. Isn't that strange? But anyway, like I said, I've never called a radio station before, and I will donate money to the cause, since you are so good at helping marriages and et cetera. But I don't know where to turn. I've been to my pastor. This is the problem. My husband has lost all respect for me. He didn't have quite a bit to begin with from about the 10 years after we were married. I never knew that I've been an enabler. I never knew what the word meant, but someone brought it to my attention about a year ago. And
what's he been involved with that you've enabled there?
Well, I was married. Like I say, I was married not young. I didn't know what the word enabler was.
Yeah.
But he was in his own business. His father left him in business. He had to put the time in for it to flourish. We have three children, but one just passed away last July.
Oh,
and I'm realizing that I can still be in a bereavement state, but I'm not sure. But anyway, he became a chief of police. Now, my husband was going to church. He's been away from God for 31 years. He was he was into politics for about a year, and then they asked him to become a chief of police. He became a chief of police, and he never drank in his life. Okay, I don't want to bring up any bad things about him, only that I have been abused physically, and now and also verbally, and also I feel that I have that God. I have an anger issue.
Oh my goodness.
I have an anger issue. Yes. We have four personalities in this house. They come in on a daily basis. They come in on a weekly basis. They come on in a monthly basis. And there's four of them. One of them is mine. We have the LPN. Now, there's a caregiver in here now. She's probably listening to my conversation. She's in the back room, but she can hear, which I don't
why
hear.
Why is he bedridden?
Okay, he had very bad extension.
Okay, hold on. We'll get right back to you.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. We're talking with Sally, and we just feel for her, and life has just been so tough, and she's just realizing that she's enabled some of these things. And let's start with you, Alice. What are you thinking could be helpful to her in just a really sad situation here?
Steve, what stands out for me the most is, Sally, some of the things you pointed out make me wonder how isolated you are, despite having people all around and coming into your home. You said you felt like God had left you. You also mentioned understanding that you're still in the grief process as one of your children just died last year.
Wow.
And then you've been abused over the years, physically and emotionally. So when I hear people talk about feeling abandoned by God, it makes me wonder how cut off you might be from people in your life, because God most often, exactly, uses people to be a presence to us. People get to be God's hand and feet in our lives, but when we're isolated emotionally, we might even be physically around people, but when we're emotionally isolated, that's when we feel the most alone, and it's also when we're stuck in our own toxic behavior. What courage you have to recognize that you have been an enabler, and as overwhelming as that can be, I think God is giving you a way out, because when we recognize our role in the problem, that's when we get empowered to be able to change what we have been doing that has added to the problem.
So what do you think she should do?
Well, it depends on the safe people that you may or may not have in your life at this point. And like, Jill has some great ideas about getting connected.
Well, like who is the person, or think about the person who took the risk with you and told you the truth? Because you need to be around loving people who will tell you the truth. And is that someone that you could draw in to be a support? Is there also a place where you can go? Because you're also, Sally, in the role of a caregiver if your husband is bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult being a caregiver long term, especially under these circumstances.
Yes.
So you need someone to love on you as a caregiver. And there are groups for caregivers, because caregivers go through burnout and start feeling all alone and some of the things that you've been describing. So,
and Philadelphia is big enough, there would be plenty of caregiver groups there.
Are those some things that you would be willing to do?
Hold on. Let me put her back on here.
Bill is anything? The problem. I'm not the caregiver anymore. All I am is the housekeeper and the cook.
Okay, but Sally, that's still a caregiver. You know, you're doing the work to support his treatment, right? To support his care.
He has an LPN, and she has three people under her that are just care. They're not.
Okay.
They're not taught caregivers. They're just people from her past, from her relatives. They're family members of theirs. So I have four personalities coming in and out of my house for
which
the past
is difficult
year.
For you in a state of grieving.
Oh yes.
And so what we're saying is we want to have some places for you to receive care. Because you're in desperate need of care, Sally.
Mm, she is.
Sally, you mentioned having anger issues, but I wonder if a lot of that anger can be actually quite healthy, because mm-hmm. anger can be a motivating emotion, if we use it correctly, that can empower us to make some bold moves that we struggled to make before. So I want to ask you to try to embrace it and use it to take these steps to get the help that you need to be able to grieve and to have God's people around you.
Yeah, I would be worried if there wasn't any anger
yes.
there.
Yes. Right.
Now, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. It's got some great healing in it. I want to encourage you to connect. You simply need to connect with people. And if you don't connect, you're going to find yourself just more and more miserable. Mm-hmm. Especially, you say, these personalities coming in and out that you're not really
They've taken over your household.
Yeah. And so that's the kind of caregiving stress that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here and I just had this cramp in my leg, and I was thinking, you know, when you have a pain and you don't address it, you try to ignore it, you know, it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something. You have to move. You have to get with it, or the pain shows up in some other way. I think physicians talk about it being like a referral pain. Well, it's landed in your heart. And it's going to take some tough, tough action on your part. But you can have a life. You know, when somebody has been abusive and you decide, you know what, I'm going to do something different. They may never change, but I can. You find a friend and a support group. That becomes a bond. I wish you could see some of these women that never knew each other before that go to one of my wife's support groups. And now they have a friendship. They go on trips together. They're doing things together. And they were so alone and isolated. But you have to get in the car or call Uber or whatever and go to those meetings so you can have those connections. Someone like Sally, at a minimum, needs to be in a women's Bible study at a grace-filled church. It's just a necessity. I think we all feel for her.
And one simple step when it comes to verbal abuse, especially, Sally, with your husband in the state that he's in, I think you let him know when he's not being verbally abusive. If you call me these names, when you raise your voice at me, I'm going to step out and I'm going to take care of myself. And then I may not be back for 15 minutes or more. But you walk away in order to protect yourself. Now, that may be too hard to say, actually. So it can be something that you have to practice with your women's Bible study first and let them know that you're going to do that. And then you put it into practice with him. But you got to protect yourself, and that anger might help you do it.
Yeah, sure might. Oh, wow. We feel for you. Take Your Life Back is coming your way. We'll pray for you. I ask others to pray for you that something different, something good, something better is going to happen. We've got a Take Your Life Back event coming up, and you can find out about it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. We want you to help us. We've talked to you about Club New Life. If you support us here at the end of the month, a gift of any amount, we're going to send you Intimate Deception. It's healing the wounds of sexual betrayal. I'm going to send that to her, too. I think that could really be helpful. A lot of times we wonder, am I normal? Am I not? Yeah, you're normally hurting. Anybody that has gone through what you've been through, Sally, would hurt and feel this. And I hope that this will be a blessing to you. A gift of any amount. I'll send that same book to any of you who call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Intimate Deception by Dr. Sherry Keffer. And then I hope and pray that you'll just call us. Whatever you're struggling with, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, depression, sadness. You know, we've got a book for you. Maybe there's a counselor in your area. One of our workshops could really change everything. We come to work every day, and it's just the same mission that we've always had, wanting people like you to get the help that maybe you never dreamed was available for you. I've seen people, I mean, you talk about a 180 degree change. It really does happen. Hopeless, they feel helpless, and then they come to one of the things that we do or go to a counselor or they get a resource and it changes everything. That's what we want for you. But you have to call us at 1-800 New Life. Now, if you're just listening for the first time, please know we've got this wonderful app, and it's so easy. You just click on it. You can hear the program every day. You can hear us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You can go to newlife.com and hear us there. A lot of different ways to hear us, and then we're on cable television. Just look for New Life Live. But it's a great week for transformation. It's a great week to think about, hey, how am I going to pay for all these crummy things I've done? Well, you don't have to. Jesus did it for you. And we're going to honor him all week this week. Thank you, Alice. Thanks to you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thanks for all of you who watch and listen and pray and support.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.